I remember the first time I ever sat behind a microphone. It was 14 years ago inside the studio at Joy 94.9. And I was scared as you get the picture. I was going to uni at the time, taking an additional course on the side called Certificate 3 in Radio Broadcasting, because I wanted to see what it was like to work at a radio station. On the application, there was a list of jobs around at the station we could sign up for. As I moved down the list, I checked just about every single box, except one. Front desk, check. Admin assistance, sure. Cleaning, why not? Sit behind the microphone and broadcast your voice for all of Melbourne to hear? Hell no. Well, until I had no other option. It was my turn to get behind the microphone and work the board. This was a part of taking the course. How to learn to host a show, operate a panel or a board, and actually run a whole radio show. When I sat down inside the studio, half an hour before my 11 p.m. show, I felt overwhelmingly anxious. Even though I spent 15 hours preparing for this 2-hour show, there were all these messages clouding up my mind. Who are you to do this? You're not good enough for this. Who do you think you are? What the hell are you doing sitting behind a mic?
Who are you to do?
Oh my God, you're going to have to come out. Oh my God, you're not going to be bisexual. Oh my God, this is crazy. It didn't matter how long I spent preparing, how many times I ran through it without any mistakes, or how well I actually knew my craft. I'd convinced myself that I just wasn't capable of doing this. This is imposter syndrome. And let me tell you, I had a bad case of it. But it does get better over time. While there's no one-size-fixes-all solution, with genuine devotion to working on yourself and mindfully analysing self-talk, the imposter's voice gets quieter and quieter over time. My guest on this episode of The Ginny Show, Adri Kaiser, is no stranger to battling imposter syndrome. Today, she is an international holistic wellness expert who has spent the last 15 years helping highly driven people to get out of their own way, utilize their unique skills, and build unstoppable confidence to succeed in life and business.
Since I was a little girl, I always wanted to make a difference in people's lives. Especially, I was passionate about helping the underdog and helping make the wrongs right. And all I could hear is, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not talented enough, you're not pretty enough, because this is what I heard growing up as a child. I kept thinking I wasn't good enough, so I attracted the same people that make me feel or prove me right that I was not good enough. And that kept me in this emotional prison, the emotional prison that fueled or fed my inner critic.
If you've been listening to The Ginny Show over the last few months, this may sound familiar to you. What you believe creates the response you get. As Adri said, she believed she wasn't good enough. So she drew in those who backed up that belief rather than challenged her, lifted her up, or interrupted the self-destructive script she unconsciously recited. But when she consciously paused and chose to address these messages, she took back control over her life.
There is also something to say about holistic wellness and really doing your personal work, because that's what's going to bring you true long-lasting transformations.
So let's start interrupting our own scripts. When you find the inner critic's voice starts overpowering your truth, combat it. Return to your why. Reassure yourself that you are qualified. You are ready. You are worth it. And you are enough.
The Ginny Show, oh.
Kaiser, welcome to The Ginny Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. We've got lots to talk about. It's not very often that I get to meet an international law student turned wellness expert. That was quite a contrasting journey there. Tell me a little bit about transitioning from different careers. That's fascinating.
Yes, since I was a little girl, I always wanted to make a difference in people's lives. Especially, I was passionate about helping the underdog and helping make the wrongs right. And law, it was something that was fascinating to me, maybe because of the shows, TV shows that I had, or I don't know. I just felt like it was my purpose, especially because I felt like an underdog myself. So let me tell you a little bit of my story just to illustrate. I'm from Caracas, Venezuela. I was born and raised there. That's where I went to law school for a couple of years before moving to the U.S. in 1995. But during this time, I never had the idea of staying here in the U.S. My goal always was to become fully bilingual and go back to my country, finish my law degree and work there. But I met my husband. So we end up getting married and end up staying. But throughout this process, one of the things that was a constant in my life was, you're not good enough. Especially, I remember clearly being in the classroom 5 months into this yoga training I'm doing, and the teacher walks in and talks about a possibility of working at this fancy place, right? And if you wanted more information, to just approach her. So the moment I approached her and asked her for more information, she goes, oh no, you're not ready. This is not for you. This is more for like so-and-so, as she points out to some of my classmates. And all I could hear is, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. You're not pretty enough. Because this is what I heard growing up as a child, especially being bullied and abused by my aunt. And throughout my life, those words, you're not good enough, kept coming up over and over. People would make me feel that way. And because I kept thinking I wasn't good enough. So I attracted the same people that make me feel or prove me right that I was not good enough. And that kept me in this emotional prison. The emotional prison that fueled or fed my inner critic. That inner critic, that voice that says, you're not good enough to do this, or it compares you to others, or points out all your shortcomings. That inner critic that fuels your fears and doubts and your self-sabotaging behavior. That inner critic that doubts your ability to grow, to succeed, and even to overcome obstacles. So that emotional prison led to so much pain in my life, chronic pain for over a decade. I'm sure like you and everybody listening right now can relate to having pain, whether it is from loss, disappointment, failure, or even abuse. And what all of us have in common is that we cope with pain the best way we can with the tools we have at any given time. For some people, it's eating, you know, turning to food, hoping that it will feel the void that they may have inside. For some people is going from, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, stressing and worrying about all these different scenes. For me, it was pushing myself harder and holding myself to unrealistic standards because I wanted to prove to myself and others that I was good enough. It didn't matter that I have traveled worldwide, that I speak two languages, that I go to law school, that I have built a successful career. That pain kept me playing small. That pain kept me trying to keep myself safe, to the point that when I moved to the U.S. and encountered racist remarks, it was the first time in my life I'd experienced being singled out by the color of my skin, by the tone of my voice or my accent. And I felt so inadequate and so small. And those remarks that were so hurtful that I didn't speak for months. So I became completely voiceless. And I'm saying this because what I didn't know at the time was that my chronic pain had emotional roots. So while I tried all these conventional treatments just to get temporary relief, I knew I had to address the emotional and mental aspects of myself because I didn't want to live the rest of my life taking medication like I was eating candy.
We could just literally end the Ginny Show right now. I think you've just covered everything that we need to talk about. But a few things that kind of struck me personally about what you said, other than the fact of it sounds like to mask the chronic pain that you were feeling, you turned to overworking, overachieving, which is what a lot of women tend to do to prove themselves worthy. But one thing that really stood out to me when you were talking is when you said that you were bullied and abused by your aunt. As an aunt, my niece is the apple of my eye. She's my favorite person on this earth. So when you said that, that hit a chord with me going, oh gosh, because your aunt is like a second mother to you, or, you know, your best friend sometimes. In that experience to you, like, this can be a very deeply personal question, so forgive if I'm intruding, Adri, but how did that affect your relationship with trusting women? Because that would have been very difficult. Yeah.
A lot. It was, so the thing is, I'm sure, you know, anybody that has been abused, especially as a child, we think it's us. You know, as a child, I didn't say anything. Nobody knew my family that was getting beat up and bullied and called names and all these different things until one day I finally decide to fight back. So as my aunt is pulling my hair and slapping my face, I push back, I fought back. And as we start to fight, my grandma happened to hear the commotion and she walks into the room, and that's when she saw and find out for herself that what was happening. And of course she defended me, and that's when my entire family found out as well. So your question is fantastic, because what I didn't know was that, yes, my relationship with women was heavily compromised because somebody that I saw as an adult, somebody that I saw as a role model or authority figure, being a female that I supposed to trust, I couldn't have that. So I kept attracting women in my life. And again, this is unconscious. This is how the mind works. This is the limiting beliefs, right? Because part of me was, when you're a child and you're being told you're not good enough, and then you continue to grow and hear similar patterns. So I kept attracting friendships, friends with girls that one way or another, because in the back of my head, or my coping mechanism was, be a fighter, be a warrior, defend yourself, push yourself harder. I never was a victim. So my thing was, I cannot trust women. They're going to hurt me eventually. So I attracted friendships that did exactly that, that proved me right. There were women that one way or another were going to hurt me, not because they beat me up or bully me, but because one way or another they, I don't know, I felt betrayed or whatever it is, you know? So yes, I had a hard time connecting with friends because part of me couldn't trust them. And it wasn't until years later, when I'm doing my personal work, that I realized all the components. One thing, though, people ask me, do you remember, or were you aware, or how do you deal with this abuse? For me, I buried it. You know, some people, like I was saying, some people turned to food, some people turned into waking up in the middle of the night. For me, it was burying all these painful memories and emotions to move forward, to try to achieve more. So it wasn't until my son was about 7, 8 years old or something like that, that I'm playing with him, that something triggered, maybe being the same age I was, that brought all those memories of my abuse. And that's when my back pain went completely increased so much that I knew they were connected. And it took me a while. There were times when I couldn't talk about this without crying or being angry or having a knot in my throat or pit in my stomach and all this stuff. It took me a while to process all this. But what I'm going to say, that I believe, this is what I do. This is, I believe strongly that the best investment that we can do is investing or taking charge of our physical, mental, and emotional health. Because they, in order for us to live a fulfilling life, a happy life, a healthy life, we have to really address all those aspects of ourselves. Otherwise, it's almost like we go through life missing something. Mm. You know, through the past 15 years that I've been working with clients worldwide, and during my own personal journey of healing myself from the inside out, I found there are 4 key components to long-lasting health, happiness, and fulfillment. And they are, 1, physical health, how you take care of your body. 2, mental wellness, how you perceive the world. 3, emotional intelligence, how you experience the world, and spiritual connection, how you feed your soul. So these 4 components are key. They form the foundation of everything I do, because those were the things I had to address for myself in order for me to heal from the inside out and become pain-free. So as we're talking about this, I'm sure some people are listening. It's like, oh, I'm pretty healthy. I don't have any pain. Well, but what is your mindset set, or how you're dealing with stress or emotions? Or some people say, yes, I have a lot of pain. Well, where is this coming from? Is it something that's physical, that, yes, if you fall and you have a bruise, that's pretty physical. But if it's something that lingers or comes back often, over and over, then we need to address what is the really root cause of all this. So medication is fantastic, but there's room for medication, but there's also something to say about holistic wellness and really doing your personal work, because that's what's going to bring you true long-lasting transformations. Otherwise, these transformations come and go. They're only temporary.
I like the four things for like holistic transformation and also sustaining transformation too, because if one falls over, it's not going to be able to sustain it. One thing that overachieving women tend to do is because they're very focused on, like that you were, Adrienne, when you went through your, I guess, stages of proving your story right of what you heard from your aunt and what you heard in your experiences as a child. When you went through your life experiencing those things, your mentality can be, I'm going to achieve so much so I can prove myself and those voices wrong, that you forget. And women do this, and it's synonymous for doing this. They have experiences where they don't take care of their body because they're so in their mind, or they're so in their soul, or they're so in somewhere out of their body. And that sounds really woo-woo, but it's actually the truth. Even with me, sometimes when I'm very much in my zone, I forget to drink water. Sometimes I have to remind myself, drink some water, have some vegetables, because a month could go by. I probably had one cucumber the whole time. That's it. And that's not good for my body. But I'm curious to know in your experience as well, self-care is something that is talked about a lot, especially it's coming out of the dark a lot in the past 5-10 years, especially pertaining to women. And I'm curious to know, what do you do in terms of practicing self-care, and what have you learned about yourself along the way when you've been doing that? I think you've given us a snapshot, but I'd love to know.
Yeah, something I want to say, that self-care is not a luxury. It's necessary. If we want to do anything in this life, if we want to leave a legacy, if we want to be loved, if we want to give love, if we want to be healthy, if we want to be abundant, anything that you want in your life starts within yourself. So self-care is mandatory, is necessary for anything, for you to grow and thrive.
The Genie Show. The Genie Show. It's freaking hilarious, except when it's not.
When I talk about self-care, or when people hear the word self-care, they think about massages, getting their hair done, their nails done, and that's just a small part of it. Because self-care also includes doing the work, doing the stuff that you don't want to do, like taking care of your finances, setting healthy boundaries, saying no, walking away from toxic relationships, walking away from things that do not serve you. All those things are a form of self-care. So yes, getting massages, going to the spa is just one version of it, but also addressing other things. So if something's not working in your life, instead of complaining about it and pointing out all the things that are not going right, part of self-care is being like taking responsibility and be like, okay, this is not working. What can I do? What's within my control for me to change these? So self-care can go from the way you eat. You know, I like I mentioned, I there are four pillars. I always start with their physical body because it creates a strong foundation. When you work with your body, you're going to see results the fastest. And it's going to create the foundation for you to move up the ladder, to work on your mindset and your emotional intelligence and your spiritual connection. The mind, body, and emotions are interconnected, and what affects one will affect the other. So when the mind, body, and emotions are working in harmony, you experience health, happiness, fulfillment, abundance, love, all these different things. But when one is out of balance, then you begin to feel imbalances as well at a physical level, mental level, emotional level. Why? Because your body remembers everything. It keeps track of everything you do, from the amount of sleep that you're getting, from the food that you're eating, from how much sleep you're getting, to how you're feeding your body in all levels, and how you manage stress. And as we know, stress is the number one cause of disease in the body. It leads to high blood pressure, insomnia, heart disease, anxiety, depression, all these different things. So when people talk about getting healthy and self-care, they think of, okay, well, let me start eating, changing this diet, and they start getting to the newest diet, so latest diet, right? Or maybe exercise, and they get into the newest trend. And I'm here to tell you that's not enough. Yes, diet and exercise is important, but more important is to find the type of food and the type of exercise that's best for you and that can be sustainable, in addition to implementing self-care practices and stress management practices that are positive. So one of the things I do that's simple and I can share with everybody listening is I tell my clients and myself, we start the day with what I call morning elixir. Morning elixir is simple, a warm cup of water with a half or full fresh lemon squeeze, the juice of the lemon, and a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. I like that one that's organic, that's raw, and it says with the mother. Why do I do this? Because first of all, it's my moment of self-care. I'm taking this, that's why I call it morning elixir, because it helps to balance the pH in your body, eliminates acidity. Acidity leads to inflammation. Inflammation leads to aches and pains. Also, it boosts your immune system and your digestive system and elimination system. So it's a process now that I do that helps me know that I'm setting myself for success moving forward throughout the day. So even just as simple as drinking the morning elixir is an act of self-care. The other thing that you can do is taking probiotics. And not all probiotics are the same. You have to make sure you buy probiotics that are double capsulated, time release, and at least have 10 different strands of probiotics. And hopefully have prebiotics as well. Why? Because some people buy the drinkable probiotics. Some people think quite just regular tablets. And once they hit the stomach acid, most of the probiotics are dead. So you're not taking as much as you think you are. Probiotics are important because they will help boost your immune system. Your immune system begins in your gut. So that's why probiotics are also important. And the third thing that people can do just for personal self-care is to move their body, whether it's walking, whether it's swimming, whether it's dancing for 5 minutes, whether it's doing yoga, whether it's whatever it is, find something that you can do on a regular basis and that you can commit to it and that you enjoy doing it. If I tell you, hey, you need to train for an hour, 7 days a week or 5 days a week, some people may do it, but not everybody will keep it as a sustainable practice. So it's better for you to be like, hey, I'm going to dance for 5 minutes when I'm going to go for a walk next day. Find some type of movement that you can commit to help you really improve your health. Why? Because people, I don't want you guys to wait until your body falls apart or your doctor tells you something is wrong for you to start thinking about your physical health. You can start right now. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday or last month or last year. Every day you can start taking care of your physical health. So then you can move up the ladder and start working your mindset and emotions and soul connections. So then you really feel like you're living a whole life. Not just one thing that many women, especially driven women, a lot of people struggle like, if I'm going to be the top at the top of my game in my work, that I have to sacrifice my family. Or if I want my family, I have to sacrifice my work or all these different things, right? We want to be great at everything we do. And we can, but we also need to prioritize and recognize what am I passionate about doing? For me, it's teaching. For me, it's talking about wellness. Can I be working on email lists? Can I work on technical stuff? Yes, I can. But it's not my passion. So then if I want to be at the top of my game in my work, I have to then really recognize what my zone of genius is and delegate everything else. In addition to that, I highly recommend getting coaches and trainers and mentors in your support group that can help you move forward, because as creatures of habits, which are human beings, all of us are human beings, are creatures of habits. We know what we know and we don't know what we don't know. So when things get hard, it's easy for people to be like, oh, I'll give up or have these blinders. So when we have these mentors, they can help us move forward, especially when we hit those roadblocks. There's a reason why professional athletes or people at the top of their games have mentors and coaches and teams helping them get to the next level. So it doesn't matter if you're making six-figure or just a few dollars an hour. It doesn't matter where you are. There's always a next level to achieve or to get to. And this applies not just in your business or finances. It also applies in your personal growth, business growth, and emotional, spiritual growth as well.
You've given us some really tangible ways of looking at self-care in a really kind of holistic point of view. And you've also given me some insight into how you start your day, which is awesome. I love how you started with lemon and some apple cider vinegar, nothing like that to wake you up in the morning pre-coffee. Another question for you, how do you feed your soul every day, Adri? Like you've talked about what grounds you in the physical body, but your soul, how do you feed that?
That's such a great question. Well, I spend time with my family. My family is number one. So having time with my husband and my son is something that really feeds me, makes me happy. Like I said, I love teaching. I love working with clients. I love talking about wellness. I love teaching yoga. So for me, that's part of what feeds me because it's part of my purpose. You know, that's something that you know that you're feeding your soul when you can, you're so passionate about something that you can talk and talk and do the same thing over and over and over and still have the energy. So for me, I feed my soul by doing what I love, spending time with myself, with my family. I work with crystals, meditation, and really, like I said, it's just doing what I love. That's the best way to put it. I am passionate about what I do, and that's been the number one thing that has led me to feel happy and fulfilled and successful. For the longest time, I played small. I was afraid of standing out. I was afraid of being judged and criticized. I was afraid of speaking in public. I was in pain, but the pain of holding myself back, the pain of no living my purpose, the pain of no being who I was truly am, or the person I was meant to be, it was stronger than the pain of being judged. So the moment I realized, for example, when I didn't speak for months because I was so ashamed of my accent, the moment I realized it's like, hey, at least I speak multiple languages. I have all this knowledge within me and trainings and tools I have achieved in my life, I'm not going to be bound by the perceptions that you may or may not have about me. And in that moment, that's when, for me, everything shifted. When I took responsibility of what I allowed myself to be, when I allow other people to kind of decide of what I'm supposed to be, if I was good or not good enough. And I realized I didn't, that's not dependent of anybody else, but within me. So when it comes to really feeding yourself, at least for me, started with doing my personal work and my spiritual work. And it wasn't until maybe 5 years or so when I came out of the spiritual closet, because I was afraid of being judged and doing all this woo-woo stuff. But once I did, and the reason I did is because it was undeniable. You know, it was like, it was time. I couldn't shy away from it anymore. So yeah. Feeding your soul is part of allowing yourself to be who you are, loving yourself, and doing what you love.
I love that. I love that. So how you feed your soul is with the things that you love, pretty much. Is that what you said?
Pretty
That's
much.
Amazing.
Finding the spiritual connection, whatever that means to a person. For some people, it's prayers. For some people, it's meditation. For some people, it's spending time in nature. However you feed your soul, you know, whatever brings you a spiritual connection, that feeds your soul.
I would say, you know, after having heard you say that, I'm just reflecting on what I value. And I feel the most energized, happiest, light, and purposeful when I do feel a sense of connection. First and foremost to myself. And that only comes with when I'm connected to source or the universe. It can't just come naturally. And then when I'm more connected to me, I can connect to others more freely. And if that is not happening for me, then I'm a little off. And then I know this is what's going on. It's fascinating. Adri, absolutely loved having you on the show. What we talk about a lot on the Ginny Show is happiness and how we can have the tools and resources and stories to actually achieve that happiness in our lives and hold that space for ourselves to be happy. What is your definition of happiness?
Wow, there's so many definitions I could say. For me, happiness is when I'm feeling loved and I'm give love equally, where I'm feeling like I'm living my purpose. You know, with this pandemic that we all have experienced. Today was the first time I was able to step back into a yoga studio and teach a yoga class in person. And I knew I missed it. I know I love teaching yoga. I've been teaching yoga online all this time. Being in that room and seeing people's faces and transformation and getting that connection, the feedback, I was like, oh my gosh. In that moment particularly, that was happiness for me. Happiness for me is when I'm holding my child or hugging my husband. Happiness for me is when I really get to connect with another human being and see like they're getting something. When I work with my clients and I see them get transformations, one in particularly, this client, she was having a lot of physical stuff, a lot of pain, and she was TMJ and chronic pain in her neck and her back and grinding her teeth and not sleeping and all these different things. So finally she called me after going through many doctors to see if I could help her. So we started working together and we work on her mindset. We changed her diet. She started doing many of my yoga classes and meditations, and we did inner child work and all these different things. So happiness for me was when she called me and said, Adri, I smile today for the first time in a long time.
Mm. So happiness to you, spreading happiness.
Yes. It's being one with myself and in source and knowing that what I'm doing makes a big difference in people's life. But also it's the moment where I feel the most whole and complete. So whether it's spending time with my family or whether it's teaching a class or working with a client, in that moment when I feel that I'm being whole and complete and guided by source, that brings me happiness. So happiness is internal, it's no external. So whatever brings happiness. So that's why for me it's so hard to give you a straight answer or definition because I don't know if I have a definition, because when I think of being happy, there's so many things that come to mind that it's impossible for me. This is happiness.
No, that makes perfect sense. Well, Adri Kaiser, thank you so much for your time and being with us on The Ginny Show. I feel that we have covered so much in the time that we've had. We've had to have you back on so we can unpack these themes a little further. Please tell the good people of The Ginny Show where we can find you out in the social networks out there.
My website is like my name, Adri Kaiser, and same thing with all social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, adrikaiser.com, Adri Kaiser everywhere. And if you like, I don't know if I can, but I would love to give your audience a gift too. So they can go to adrikaiser.com free gifts. And they can download a PDF I have, which is called From Limited to Limitless, Finding Your Bliss. And this is a simple PDF with questions and simple exercises to help people pinpoint of some of the limiting beliefs. One of the most common is I'm not good enough or I don't have enough money. So what are some of the most common limiting beliefs that you may be holding on to? And it will give you some things to help you start moving forward. So whether you don't even know what limiting beliefs are, or you never worked on yourself, or whether you have tried and then fall back to old patterns, or whether you're like, I've done a lot of inner work, but there's always a next level. So this workbook will help every person. I created it for the clients I work with. And every time I come to shows or I do my motivational speaking engagements, they request for this book. So it's there for everybody to access them. And I think you have the link as well. Yeah, I would love to hear from anybody if they have any questions in the way I can support them. It'll be my pleasure.
Brilliant. Adri, thanks so much for being on The Ginny Show.
Thank you. The Ginny Show. Oh.